The following interview with Megan Torgerson was recorded by Bob Wall on October 12th, 2022.
We've got an interview today with Megan Torgerson. She's the creator of Reframing Rural, a podcast that takes a look at rural life in Montana and maybe how it's changed. Thanks for talking to us today, Megan.
Thanks so much for having me, Bob. I look forward to speaking with you.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could just kind of give us a rundown on what the podcast is all about and what you're hoping to accomplish with it.
Sure. So I founded Reframing Rural while a graduate student at Seattle University in 2019 is when I started my first season. And the first season was dedicated to my home community in far northeast Montana. So I grew up on a farm and ranch in Sheridan County, a small town called Dagmar. Not a lot of people have heard about it unless you are familiar with the book The Red Corner about the communists in northeast Montana.
Yeah.
But my podcast didn't talk about that. I was more interested in just shining light on kind of the farm and ranch life that I was immersed in growing up. Since leaving northeast Montana, I've discovered that not a lot of people really knew about what life was like on a farm and ranch, and so I thought that I should highlight some stories that could tell people about that life, especially after the 2016 election and after rural and urban were really pitted against each other. I wanted to tell stories from people that I knew and loved that had a diversity of thought and political perspective as well. And so the first season was kind of a love letter to my hometown. And then the second season, I wanted to keep learning. I'd finished grad school in June of 2020. And so I just interviewed rural artists and entrepreneurs and advocates from across the country. And, more kind of Montana and the heartland in the West. But it's that season is called Sowing Possibility. And it started with the interview with Sarah Calhoun, and it featured the rural sociologist Ben Winchester, who popularized the term rural brain gain. So something I'm always trying to do with my podcast, too, is to look at rural through an asset lens or through a lens of abundance that shows things that are going right with rural instead of just the negative rural narratives about people leaving and just narratives of death and despair. So Ben Winchester kind of talks about that as well and helped frame up some of the other episodes that I had in that season. And then today I actually just launched the trailer for my third season, which I'm calling Groundwork, and that's taking a more issues-based approach, looking at the need to preserve family farms and ranches on working land, the resurgence of regenerative agriculture and the possibilities that come up with regenerative ag, and then rural gentrification. So tomorrow I'm actually driving to Dover, Idaho, outside of Sandpoint, to interview a rural sociologist who wrote the book Pushed Out, Contested Development and Rural Gentrification in the U.S. West. Her name's Ryanne Pilgrim. So that's, yeah, kind of in a nutshell, my podcast, what my podcast is about.
Wow. Yeah, that's a... It was pretty interesting when you contacted me. I did actually know where Dagmar was. My sister, I grew up north of Great Falls, but my sister moved over to Plentywood area for a job with the Farm Service Agency and ended up getting married and staying there. And my mom moved up there, so kind of familiar with that corner of the country. And
wow.
And I haven't read the book, but I've heard some things about it, the Red Corner book, and some interesting history up there. And but really, just the issues that you're bringing up with the way that things are changing for rural people and the perceptions of rural life and stuff, I think are very interesting. And there's certainly room, it seems to me, for giving people some different perspective on that, because I sort of despaired a little bit after that election as well about the way that people in rural areas were lumped into a bucket or portrayed or stereotyped. I mean, really. So, that's very interesting.
Yeah, that was definitely the fire that started the podcast, was kind of those portrayals in the media, because I also knew people who had different perspectives than what was just being presented on newspaper headlines at that time. And so I was kind of felt sad for people who might not know what rural America is really like, that they are just believing that it is this one monolith. So I felt the responsibility to share different stories than are what's portrayed in kind of the coastal media hubs.
Yeah. So as it went along and you've kind of advanced onto new topics and stuff, does that particular aspect of it that kind of got you started, does it ever draw you back, or does it kind of work its way into some of the future, some of the later podcasts, or?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like it's always an undercurrent to try to bridge maybe urban-rural divides, or to try to share rural perspectives that that might not be in more popular, larger media outlets. But I kind of think like the second season then transitioned into, I was trying to be more of a tool for other rural communities, so hoping to share success stories that other people could potentially implement in their hometown. And then I just kind of wanted, I got a public humanities fellowship from Humanities Washington. So I'm based in Seattle, but I'm back and forth between Washington and Montana about every other month on average. So I just got back from being in Montana, both at my farm and Western Montana for some time for most of September. And so I got a fellowship to help me discover like what I really wanted to do with my third season. I kind of feel like after my first season, I created that while writing my thesis. And so the interviews I used for season one were also repurposed for all my graduate school work. And I was really kind of, I had my mentors, my professors, to kind of bounce ideas off of for the first season. And then the second season, I was like, I just want to interview people who I'm interested in, who I can learn about. And there was a diversity of kind of background and perspective that I was able to highlight in the second season. But I really felt like the third season, I wanted to have a theme identified more from the start. And so through this public humanities fellowship, I identified three key themes, kind of based on what I was seeing within my own family's farm and Eastern Montana, and just the landscape of how rural places in Montana have changed since the pandemic, and how housing affordability is such an issue that everybody's experiencing. So through reflection on themes that I was kind of looking to highlight, I kind of created this this more of a focus, a issues-based focus for the third season. And I'm calling it Groundwork because the common thread throughout preserving family farms and ranches and regenerative agriculture and rural gentrification is really land, and land that connects us all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be pretty interesting. I know that, I guess I shouldn't say I know. I suspect that one of the last things that comes to a lot of people's minds when you say gentrification is rural gentrification. But, I mean, it's mm-hmm. certainly a reality. And, like, I know when I was a kid, which has been quite a while ago, but that the conservation easement idea was mm-hmm. just getting started then. And my parents knew some people that, I think actually a couple of people that did get easements, and some other people that investigated it. And it was kind of a dirty word in our house because, you know, you would sign this easement and it would prohibit or limit what you could do, like building new buildings and that sort of thing. And they thought that was just a terrible idea. And I don't think that they saw the changes coming and the possibility that people that had no interest in basically in agriculture would start looking at the mm-hmm. land along the Rocky Mountain front where I grew up and start thinking about that in a lot different way, and that people would have enough money to just buy big chunks of that land and just to come and play once in a while. And so I think that, you know, that the fact that that is reality and that it seems like it's picked up a lot, I think people, it still doesn't seem to be in a lot of people's consciousness that that is kind of a reality, and that it, in my mind anyway, it's kind of a troubling reality.
Yeah, I think for me growing up too, I had this idea that the West was limitless and there was an endless amount of land. And I think we're coming to a terms as a culture that that's not true, that there is a finite amount of open spaces. And I was actually listening to the New York Times Daily podcast this morning about single family homes. And it was interesting. There were some conservationists or kind of early environmentalists in the 70s that started in California to speak out against suburbs and more developments. And it kind of it sounded very much like how people are talking about it today. And even though Montana is highly less, you know, densely populated than states like Washington or California, I think that there is still a finite amount of space. And so so that's something that I'm interested in preserving, I think, because that's a reason that people are interested in moving to Montana, and that makes Montana unique is the wide open space too.
Right. Yeah, it's a, you know, I also find, and I kind of worry it sometimes that as the years go by and as populations move, and, you know, in the past, I think as people have moved away from farms and stuff, young people, that the connection between most of the citizenry of the country and agriculture kind of seems to dwindle as over time. And as people kind of lose a more immediate understanding of it, I think it really makes it a lot easier for people to take all of that for granted. And I kind of wonder how long it'll be before things like the farm program won't be able to pass in the legislature because too many people don't really have any kind of an inkling of what agriculture means and, you know, why it's important to keep a diverse food supply and stuff. So I think, you know, having a little bit of a, you know, shine a light on some of that and maybe get people thinking about that and paying a little bit of attention to that is definitely a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something that I took for granted growing up, that I thought everything was happening outside of the agricultural community that I grew up in. But then as years went on, I realized that that was actually a really unique experience and that it's also a really important experience. And food is a national security issue, really. And I think it's important that that people have an understanding of how, not only how food is grown and that it doesn't just show up in a grocery store, but that the kind of the conditions that family farms are faced with and how they are really forced to grow their operations in order to maintain a viable business and import, you know, like foreign labor is a trend that's happening in Northeast Montana as the older farmers are starting to retire and people are kind of having to hire people from out of the country to help seasonally. And that also, I think that's great that we're able to provide those jobs, but it's also some of those people don't live in Montana full time. And then the schools are having less and less kids in them, just as I experienced in comparison to my older sisters who had more kids in their classrooms. And so I think it's important, yeah, to not just share stories about how food is produced, but also the realities for farm families and rural communities that are so integral to that whole system.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I have a full appreciation of what the impact might be as conglomeration and kind of assimilation into some of the great big producers continues to go. It's like, I certainly have concerns about where that could go, but I don't know if I have enough concerns. So, you know, I think it is important for people to understand that. And I think sometimes I wonder if we're, like I said, we're so far removed that, you know, I certainly had like this idyllic view of agriculture, ranching and farming and stuff from, you know, kind of the rose-colored history glasses. But now I wonder, you know, I think some people maybe are far enough away from that. They don't even have that anymore. They don't have that nostalgic view even of people mm-hmm. that work on small agricultural operations. And so without that and without the understanding of the importance of it, it's like, man, it's pretty easy for people to not really get too excited about what's going on there and what needs to be done to enable it to continue.
Yeah. I interviewed Jeannie Alderson, who is the former board chair of Northern Plains Resource Council during my last season. And the Northern Plains last year was really fighting the meatpacking oligarchy and the big four meatpackers who had were kind of preventing any competition from happening in the market, and ranchers were receiving far the price for their meat was, you know, for beef was way too low for ranchers. And she's way more eloquent in the podcast about this, but she really does a great job of sharing how this story is, this matters for everybody, not just for ranchers in Montana and across the country, but how this is the story of consumers as well. And even if you aren't a meat eater, cattle can play a role in sequestering carbon and so on too. And so she does a really eloquent job of conveying how this story matters for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many interleaving things, and you know, there are new things all the time. I have discussions at length about like the bison and the American Prairie Reserve and, you know, mm-hmm. the effect on agriculture and the opinions of the people in those communities. And it's just, there are a lot of fascinating threads throughout all of this. I think you've got material for probably as long as you want to keep doing your podcast.
Yeah, there's so many avenues for stories, and I'm planning to move back to Montana in June of next year. And so I'm excited to be on the ground, to be able to tell some more stories on the ground and have less travel back and forth, because I'm really most interested in telling stories from Montana.
Yeah. But, you've done some things, like you said, you've done some work and are doing some work in Idaho, and I presume some in Washington.
Yeah, I'll be speaking for this story about rural gentrification in Dover. I'll be interviewing someone with the Kalispell tribe who's based in Washington. And I have most of my third season fleshed out, but the majority of the guests from season three will be from Montana. The first episode is with the farmer's lawyer, Sarah Vogel, who won a national class action lawsuit against the USDA during the 1980s farm crisis and prevented over 240,000 family farmers from foreclosure. So that's kind of a more national story. And then I have the next story after that will be about farm succession in Northeast Montana. And that features my family's farm and a few other farmers and a lawyer from the area. And then the third episode will be with Kathleen McLaughlin, the Butte-based journalist, who's written about gentrification in Bozeman and cultural extraction in Butte. And then the first episode of the year will be that pushed out rural gentrification story based in Idaho. And then I'm kind of still fleshing out the remaining story, but the episodes, but they'll rotate between those themes, and then they'll be interspersed with like hour-long interview episodes, and then sound-rich narrative episodes that are more edited and place-based.
Yeah,
and I'm excited to be working with Bald, who will be the season story editor, so she'll consult on the story arc of the season and then serve as a story editor for the narrative episodes. And then I just started working with a new musician and composer and sound designer who's based in Seattle, and he's an incredible musician, and so I'm really, really excited to be working with him. His music really makes the trailer that I just published today come alive. So
nice. Yeah, so it sounds pretty fascinating. I'm glad that you connected with us and are giving us an opportunity to pick up your podcast. And you know, Bozeman is, I don't know, in some ways it seems like it's like the poster child for some of what's going on. You know, when I came down here to college, it was, at that time, it was still pretty much really a ranching community and, you know, ag mm-hmm. community. And that is, that, that aspect of the community is probably disappearing in the rearview mirror. And so it's really weird to watch. Sometimes I still is kind of hard to wrap my head around how fast things have changed. So, but you know, it's still, there are still those roots here. And, I think there's still enough people around here that are keenly interested in that, that they will be very much appreciate this kind of, this lens to look at things and, kind of think about things.
Yeah. I think that people who either grew up in Montana or moved to Montana because they loved it are all interested in these stories that root us to our agricultural past and to even beyond that and our indigenous past too. So I think it's exciting to be able to share stories from family farmers and, you know, like about the story that I'll be doing in Idaho about how it transitioned from a timber mill community into more of an amenity economy. And so I think people are hungry for stories about our history and our past to help make sense of the future too.
Yeah. We definitely don't, as a culture, don't seem to be very good at history, much to our chagrin sometimes.
Yeah. Or maybe we like to forget about more painful parts of our history.
Well, that's, but yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, it's important to remember it all, I think.
It is, yeah. It turns out that maybe the most important parts of history are the painful parts. It's sort of like,
yeah,
touching the stove. You don't want to forget that part, even though it hurt. You want to keep that in your mind so you don't do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today, and looking forward, like I said, to getting the podcast lined up and starting to broadcast those episodes, and just hearing how your season progresses and looking forward to where it may lead you in future seasons.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bob, for the opportunity to talk with you today and to share my episodes with your listeners.
You bet. Well, we will have the scheduling figured out for the new episodes of Reframing Rural by Megan Torgerson coming up here pretty soon. And so you can keep it tuned here to KGVM and keep an eye out for that.
That interview was recorded on October 12th of 2022. We have worked out the scheduling for Reframing Rural. It will air every other Tuesday at 1 p.m. and again on Thursday afternoon at 5:30 p.m., so that will alternate with News Nerds on Thursday afternoons at 5:30 every other week. We hope you'll tune in to KGVM and catch this new program.